Natural Resource Committee together to order. Good morning, committee.
Some of us don't do all
good morning.
I know. Good morning. Today we're going to have a public hearing on House Bill 3478.
Microphones aren't on.
Are the microphones not on? Oh, can everyone hear me? No. Okay, we're trying to get it fixed. We'll just stand at ease. Stand at ease.
Can you pause it? Where are you?
Do I need to gavel? I'll gavel in a public hearing on House Bill 3478, and I kind of want to set out the rules we're going to do. We've had these hearings before on the Wolf issue, and it's a very politically charged issue for a lot of people, and so I would hope that we can manage our testimony and not be disrespectful and be very polite and respectful in how we do these things. Also, one issue was a lot of people use acronyms, and if you could explain what those are instead of using ESA, Endangered Species Act, federal, state, whatever, it would make it a little clearer for all of us. And I think we're getting ready to start. Patrick, why don't you tell us a little bit about this bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3478 has a subsequent referral to the House Committee on Budget. It adds gray wolves to the definition of game mammal and allows the State Fish and Wildlife Commission to establish a special status for the animal. It allows the taking of a wolf without a permit under certain conditions if the wolf is causing harm to livestock. The bill directs the commission to establish a compensation program for persons who suffer loss or injury due to wolves and to appoint an advisory committee to recommend methods for screening and paying compensation claims. The bill creates a wolf management compensation fund, continuously appropriating money from that fund to the commission for the payment of compensation claims. And the bill will also appropriate money to the commission to carry out the compensation program.
Thank you, Patrick. And we don't have any amendments yet. I understand there are going to be amendments coming.
If I may, Madam Chair, we have just received and are just now placed on your desks the -1 and -2 amendments.
Oh, okay.
I believe we will have our witnesses speak to those. I'm not sure which is for which of the people who will be coming forward.
I'm sure we'll find out. Stay tuned. First, I want to call Lindsay Ball and Lori Ellicker or Craig Healy up. Good morning. I'll let you go ahead and explain to us what you want to explain to us.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lindsay Ball. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I'm here to provide you information on House Bill 3478 today. As we lead into that discussion, I think it would be best if I can give you a bit of a history so we can kind of bring focus to the subject at hand, which is the gray wolf in Oregon. The gray wolf population in Oregon was extirpated by the 1930s, as were wolf populations throughout the western United States. In 1973, wolves received legal protection under the Federal Endangered Species Act. In Oregon, wolves were added to the state's list of endangered species with passage of the Oregon Endangered Species Act in 1987. During 1995 and 96, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reintroduced 66 wolves into central Idaho and Yellowstone National Park following approval of a federal environmental impact statement to recover wolves in the northern Rocky Mountain recovery area. Following an absence of nearly 60 years, here in Oregon, a lone female radio-collared wolf from the Idaho population entered Oregon in 1999. Two additional wolves were documented in 2000, and wolf experts predict that dispersing wolves will continue to enter Oregon and eventually establish self-sustaining populations here in this state. The Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan was developed through an extensive public process and approved by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission February 11, 2005, to address management concerns related to the presence of wolves in this state. I might add, Chair Smith, one of the troubling issues with wolves in Oregon as we were working through this process was the fact that under the state ESA, the State Endangered Species Act, a plan would have to be put together and adopted prior to landowners being allowed to take wolves that were preying on their livestock. We had to be able to find and identify a point of conservation in the state for the wolves before we could allow that to take place. That was one of the ambitions that I had to see this plan through. We needed to give landowners the tools necessary to deal with the wolf in Oregon as it relates to livestock concerns. Now, what took place was another issue with a Judge Jones ruling that I'll explain in just a moment. But keep that thought in mind. Specific to the bill, House Bill 3478 defines the gray wolf as a game mammal under RS 496004 with special status designation. It also permits incidental take of gray wolves under RS 496172. Incidental take is defined as unintended take of a wolf while engaged in other lawful activities. It allows the take of wolves when wolves are preying on livestock under ORS 498012, and it creates a livestock compensation plan for livestock owners who suffer loss of livestock to wolves. 3478 creates an advisory committee to recommend methods of paying compensation claims, assessing missing livestock, proposes a dispute resolution process, and creates a wolf management compensation fund, with those funds supported from the state's general fund dollars. Now, I mentioned Judge Jones' ruling, and this is where things changed, the environment changed for us, because the federal court ruled that wolves should be upgraded from threatened to an endangered status. That endangered status brought a different protective measure to the gray wolf, and that affected our plan as it was written. And where it affected the plan the most was lethal take and harassment of the wolf that was allowed in the plan is now preempted by the federal court ruling and protection measures under the Federal Endangered Species Act. On January 31st, in federal district court, Judge Jones ruled wolves should be protected with endangered status and not threatened status under federal law. When the January 31, 2005 court decision vacated the federal 4D rules, that had the effect of raising the federal floor, increasing the federal protections of the wolf. Therefore, pursuant to the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, federal law now preempts any provisions of Oregon's Wolf Conservation and Management Plan concerning harassment and take that are less restrictive than the federal protections. All other portions of the plan that were adopted by the Commission remain in full legal effect. Now, this is not an unusual instance. It's unfortunate that this upgrade of the status of the wolf happened when it did. But all of our management plans that revolve around listed species under the Federal Endangered Species Act, all listed species are subject to the same kind of a ruling and can have the same effect on the state. Plan actions that can go forward now without additional federal authorization. We can live capture and handle wolves, attach radio collars, etc. We can monitor activity and movements of radio-collared wolves, and certainly wolves that are not radio-collared. We can verify reports of suspected wolf sightings or tracks. We can conduct periodic ground surveys, howling surveys, track surveys, visual sites of wolves. We can conduct wolf research. That has not changed. We can monitor wolf populations to determine number of breeding pairs, which I think is extremely important when we're trying to work in concert with a land-based industry of livestock. We can assist with investigation of suspected wolf livestock depredation. ODFW personnel can harass to prevent potential livestock depredation. We can advise livestock producers of wolf-related actions allowed under the state law and federal law. And we can conduct public outreach regarding wolves and wolves' activity and assist landowners with non-take methods of protecting livestock from wolves. What we cannot do under the current plan is that we are not allowed to lethally take wolves, relocate wolves to resolve immediate localized problem. Authorization of producers to take certain actions to prevent livestock depredation. Control take, an example, conducting a drawing for hunters to lethally take a wolf. We're not allowed to do that. Issuance of incidental takes on wolves in an activity such as trapping. That would not be allowed. Now, we are trying to work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on some permitted activities in this realm, but today we are prohibited from conducting those activities. Which brings the question up that I've heard many times, why have a wolf conservation management plan? And why have the provisions that House Bill 3478 provide us? Having a wolf conservation and management plan with the statutory changes that you have in House Bill 3478, which is before us today, will enable Oregon to quickly take over wolf management in the event the federal government once again downlists wolves or otherwise shifts management of wolves back to the states. The Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission is under a legal obligation to satisfy the requirements of Oregon's Endangered Species Act, which requires the commission to work towards conservation of the endangered species. An Oregon wolf plan positions the commission to best influence the development of federal policy in Oregon. I think that's a key point to recall and think about today, too, as we deliberate House Bill 3478. I also provided you a specific sheet on actions related to House Bill 3478. If you'd like me to go through that, I can, Chair. I gave you a description in brief. The detailed sheet goes into more depth.
I think if you just give us a brief overview of that, we do have it in our packet.
Okay, that's fine then.
Okay, that would be great.
At this time, I take any questions that you might have.
Do you want to go next, Craig, or do you want to wait?
Yes, I'm with Lindsay, so any questions you might have, I'll assist with that.
Perfect timing. Any questions? Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you comment on your perception of how a compensation program would work?
Craig, go ahead.
I feel like a
Chair Smith, Representative Boquist. The compensation program has really two main focuses. One,
state your name.
Oh, excuse me. For the record, I apologize. For the record, Craig Ely with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, currently assigned to the director's office on a special project. The compensation program really has two main focuses. One is to use the funds for proactive kinds of methods to prevent wolf depredation from occurring. And then in the event, and that includes a variety of methods, fladry, which is flags on a rope, basically, that prevents wolf depredation, hiring maybe an additional rider in a range situation so there's a greater presence, electric fences, whatever it takes, rag boxes, which is a radioactive guard box and goes off when a caller is near. The other part of that, in the event that there is a depredation occurrence, then there's a method described in the law that talks about compensating the landowner for that loss.
Yes.
Are
you? I don't believe Fish and Wildlife. You're correct me. I don't believe Fish and Wildlife has a similar compensation program. But are you aware of other compensation programs similar to this in state statute?
Chair Smith, representing Boquist, Oregon does not have a compensation plan for payment of money for loss of livestock or other crops. There are incentive programs through our Access and Habitat Board that does compensate landowners at certain times for loss to wildlife. There are some other programs in other states. Our neighbor Idaho has a compensation program for loss to livestock of crops and such. They have one specific to wolves as well that is supported by Defenders of Wildlife.
Well, Madam Chair,
yes.
Are those, as example you raised in other states, are they funded with their general tax fund dollars, or are they general? How are they generally funded?
The wildlife compensation program in Idaho is funded by the hunter dollar, the license and tag dollars. And I can assure you there is not enough money in that program. The current compensation for wolves is through the Defenders of Wildlife. Isn't that correct, Craig?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Burley?
And thank you, Madam Chair. Just to make sure we understand, the current status of the gray wolf right now under the federal ESA is endangered. And under the state ESA, it is...
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, it's the state ESA treats threatened and endangered as one and the same.
Okay. So. And could you please elaborate for us at this point in time what options are being considered in more detail than what you've had so far, both state and federal? Specifically, do you know, is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the federal government, planning on appealing Judge Jones's decision?
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, they are not planning on an appeal of that decision. And other steps that I have taken is I have corresponded with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service through Kemper McMaster, who is the Oregon representative here in the state of Oregon, out of the Northwest region of the Northwest Fish and Wildlife Service. And I asked Kemper McMaster, what tool can I obtain so I can provide an opportunity for livestock owners to protect their livestock from wolves? And under the current status of wolves as listed as endangered, Mr. McMaster advised me that we would not be allowed to give permission to landowners to take wolves that was preying on their livestock. What they could afford us is issuing a 10A-1A permit, which is under the Federal Endangered Species Act, which allows either a state representative from the Department of Fish and Wildlife or someone from the Wildlife Services to take a wolf. I asked if that 10A-1A permit could be extended to landowners, and he advised me no, that it would not. Excuse me. I also asked how that 10A-1A permit would come to us, and there are two avenues. The state could apply for one and go through the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service process for a 10A-1A permit, or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service could simply issue a letter of authorization to us under their existing 10A-1A permit that they obtained back in 1987. That would be the easiest route for us to gain permission to take wolves and to harass wolves in the state of Oregon from a agency perspective on a state and federal level. I also asked the question as to whether or not we could join the experimental boundary that is enjoyed by Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming, where they have latitude within that boundary to provide take provisions to landowners. If we were to do that, I was advised by Mr. McMaster that we would have to actively relocate wolves in Oregon. And that is something that we haven't discussed with the public. And that is certainly something that I think there are people who would probably object to that. Rather than natural migration and a natural migration of wolves from Idaho into Oregon versus us actively placing them. And it would also take most likely somewhere between 3 to 5 years. It would also require, upon advice from Mr. McMaster, congressional action. And that congressional action would then be left open to comment from everyone in the U.S. as to how we manage wolves here in Oregon. Now, please understand that would this would be under a federal designation, not the state designation. And I thought to myself, is that a good way to go, given the fact that we may not have a plan that we see today before us? That's still open for discussion. No definitive decision has been made on that point yet. In addition to that, it would probably cost somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2 million to walk through that process. I also asked Mr. McMaster, when do you think that the service would consider a downlist of the wolf? And Mr. McMaster said, well, that's anyone's guess. And so I pushed him a little bit, and I says, well, Kemper, tell me, give me your best professional guess. He said somewhere between 1 and 5 years when they would make that attempt. If they would downlist the wolf again, then the state would have authority under harassment and take, as it's now stated in the plan. We'd be good to go the minute that they would downlist from endangered to threatened.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On the downlisting question specifically, what would we have to do as a state to expedite the downlisting decision by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? Or not would necessarily. What could we do to help expedite that process?
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, we haven't been given specific advice from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as to what action would hasten a downlist decision. But let's look at this in somewhat of a analytical way. Judge Jones, in his decision, when he rendered his decision to raise it from threatened to endangered, he was looking at it from a conservation point of view, evaluating current affairs of wolves, and he used Oregon as an example, where Oregon asked for the first wolf to be removed and taken back to its point of origin. One was shot in Oregon, and one was run over on I-84 near Baker. Judge Jones commented on those instances to support his position that conservation needed to be strengthened by a listing decision of endangered. I contend that if we have a plan here in Oregon that demonstrates conservation of the wolf, then we can illustrate to our federal counterparts that we are doing our part in managing wildlife in this state, commensurate with what the federal laws are, respective of management of wildlife.
Thank you.
Can you tell me how many wolves we have in Oregon today?
Chair Smith, Representative Haas, we do not have a defined number of wolves in Oregon today. Do I think that there are wolves in Oregon? Yes, I do. Have we documented a population specific? No. I have talked to many of my friends who live in Northeast Oregon in particular. They have seen wolves. Now, the reason I feel confident that these people are describing to me a wolf, these are people that have lived there their whole lives. They know what a cougar looks like. They've dealt with lots of them. They know what bears look like as they've dealt with them. They sure know what coyotes are, and they know the neighbor's dog. And these animals that they've seen are not any of those. And from pictures and descriptions, I feel comfortable that those wolves are in Northeast Oregon.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may, you kind of are making my point here of this question, and that is there are lots of predators out there that prey on livestock that are, in your opinion, outnumber the wolves, but yet we're not establishing compensation programs for cougar, bobcat. 10 years ago, there was a dust-up of news stories in Central Oregon where ranchers were shooting domesticated dogs that strayed in from the city of Bend. And so my point is, there's predators all over. Why are we singling out wolves to set up a commission, a compensation plan, and doing all this? I'm not saying I oppose that. I'm just trying to find the logic here.
Chair Smith, Representative Hass, the compensation plan came out as a recommendation from the Wolf Advisory Committee, a 14-member committee that was appointed by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission to work through the management plan for wolves in Oregon. One of the things that came out of that committee's recommendations and deliberations was to have a compensation plan for livestock owners. It was intended to create some of that social tolerance and bridge that gap between a large predator and livestock owners that depend upon that economic viability in rural Oregon. It's been tried in other states. It has raised that social tolerance in other locations, and it was felt by the advisory committee that it was just in this case here in Oregon as well.
But this bill says the purpose of this program is to compensate livestock owners for losses caused by wolves. So if cougar or bobcat or whatever take down sheep on somebody's ranch, they're ineligible under this legislation, as I understand it. But if those sheep were taken down by wolves, then they would be. And I don't understand why we would just single out one species for compensation when it seems to me that there are a wide variety of predators out there. I mean, if we're going to set up compensation plans, shouldn't it be for any livestock that's lost, or why are we singling out one species?
Chair Smith, Representative Hass, that was what the Wolf Advisory Committee was focused on. It is generally... wolves are generally identified as being a predator that could impact livestock owners. That's been demonstrated in the other states. They did not recommend compensation for the other predators in Oregon. And I also, from a practical standpoint, I think if you take a look at the cost to livestock as a result of predators, it would far exceed the $200,000 that is listed in the bill that you have before you today.
Thank you. I think that answers most of our questions, and you'll be available if we have more questions.
Chair, we will stay for the remainder of the meeting.
Okay.
So we can be called forward again.
And we're having another public hearing on Wednesday, just so everyone knows we can revisit this issue last time. Thank you very much. Glenn Stonebrink, did you want Sharon Beck to come up with you? Did you want?
Sharon Beck.
Sure. He wanted to come up with you.
He didn't say.
He wants you. Yeah. He knows better to say that. We just had that discussion.
Hit me straight if I get out of line, Chair.
All right. Thank you.
For the record, I'm Glenn Stonebrink with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. What's being handed out to you, I didn't know that Patrick was going to give you the dash ones and dash twos. They're in this packet. But primarily what I have provided for you is a hand and gross version of the House Bill 3478 with the proposed amendments, which I think a lot of times that's much easier to see and understand what's happening rather than just the dash ones and dash two amendments themselves. What I plan to do is give you a brief explanation of these, but I hope this is not intended as my testimony. I'd like to do that perhaps on Wednesday at some time.
That'd be great.
And in thinking about the amendments and this bill, you have to think about three items: the plan, the rules, which have already been done by the commission, and then this law, because they all three come together. So the first amendment that you will see crossed out is on page one, and because the only change there was going to be is to declare the gray wolf a game mammal, and our amendment takes that out. Actually, the dash ones, let's do those very briefly, I'm sorry. The dash one amendments were designed to basically, you'll see there's a bunch of whereases, and what that is designed to do is to require the Fish and Wildlife Commission to establish a new plan that allows for the livestock producers to defend their livestock and for the state of Oregon to pay compensation without controlling the burdensome conditions to livestock producers for their losses due to wolf predation. Now, to the page one of the bill. Game mammals, they're wanting to make in this bill the wolf a game mammal. Now, currently the wolf is only mentioned in current law as an exotic animal. That's the only place in statute that the wolf is listed. The other thing is done by rule, and that the commission has listed it as an endangered species, but the only place in current law. We do not want it to be listed as a game mammal. And also the next amendment on page 3, line 38, we struck that because that basically says that that the commission may establish a special status classification for the gray wolf. No definition what this might be, what it might do. We object to that as well. And so that part of page 3 goes away. On page 4, lines 24 and 25, the under this, what it's saying, actually, if you start on line 17, it says, notwithstanding the permit requirement, a person without a permit may take, and then if you drop down to 24, we say, and it says they could take a gray wolf that is causing harm to livestock. And that's where we want it to stop. We don't want it to go on and say if the commission has waived the permit requirement by rule and by the plan and so on. So we're asking for that amendment. On page 5, lines 13, 14, 15, this is where this bill gets into, it starts off by talking about develop a compensation program, but then it starts talking about all these cost share programs that they will use to pay ranchers to implement livestock management techniques or non-lethal wolf techniques to discourage wolf predation. If we're going to have a compensation program, which is another subject, whether we should or shouldn't, but we don't want all the money to be spent on trying to get the rancher to change their technique. So that's that change. Then similar change on lines 24 through 26 of page 5, because it talks about the person after consultation with the commission has proposed to implement livestock management techniques. So they're, in a sense, saying you can get compensation, but only if you work with us and do what we tell you to do to start with. Okay. On the bottom of page 5, lines 45 and 46, they're talking about payments for losses or injuries shall be reduced by any amount that the person receives from any other source. And when we were discussing this with Fish and Wildlife putting this plan together, or this bill together, they were talking about, well, if the rancher has an insurance policy, and we don't want them to get paid by their insurance company, and then the state have to pay them too. That's paying them twice. And we're saying it is absolutely none of their business what the rancher does on their own, paying premiums on an insurance policy. It's the state's animal, and the state should pay if they're going to pay any compensation at all. So we want that struck. On page 6, lines 5 through 12, again, we're back to compensation for employing livestock management techniques. Actually, on lines 5 through 9, that's the same argument I just gave you. And then lines 10, 11, and 12, the bill says, and the plan goes along with all of this stuff, by the way. If you have an opportunity, you know, a few dozen hours, you want to sit down with me, I'll go through the plan with you, too. But in line 10, you'll notice it says compensation for subsequent losses and or injuries may be reduced. The compensation may be reduced by the commission if the person has failed to implement livestock management. Now, to me, that's a blackmail thing. It says, if you don't do what we tell you and change the way you do things, you can't get compensated. The very last thing, other than some minor changes on page 7, this is talking about the advisory committee that will set up the compensation program, and they're going to require that the people who serve on there have to be knowledgeable about livestock management techniques and non-lethal wolf control techniques to discourage wolf predation. So it's like everything is aimed at you figure out how to manage your livestock to avoid conflicts. We're not going to worry about our wolves for this conflict. And I'll be happy to answer any questions for you.
Thank you. I've invited Sharon Livingston to join the Cattlemen's Pen. Michael, Sharon? For time's sake, because we're all going over time, and I want to make sure everyone sure. gets to testify that drove all the way here. So I want to make sure. So we'll save questions.
Okay, I'm Sharon Beck, co-chairman of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association Wolf Task Force. Essentially now comes before you the Department of Fish and Wildlife to request that you legitimize that which they've already adopted in rule in order to implement their plan to allow the introduction of a non-native Canadian gray wolf into Oregon. The Oregon Cattlemen and the County Livestock Associations have probably could overlook the obvious bias against us if there were acknowledgement by the agency that they intended to enforce all the wildlife laws rather than their intent being to manage ranchers under HB 3478 and their wolf management plan, forcing us to conserve wolves against our will. They request you to designate the wolf a special status game mammal and grant them the authority to write standards for whatever that means. They will use the game animal personnel and the hunting public's tax dollars, which are intended to enhance hunting huntable wildlife populations and their habitat, to increase the numbers of an introduced foreign predator that likely will never be hunted in this state. We strongly oppose the addition of yet another status for the Canadian gray wolf under Oregon law. They want you to authorize the Fish and Wildlife Commission to develop a program for compensation for livestock losses to wolves. But because they add payments for non-lethal wolf control techniques and livestock management techniques, the emphasis will be on controlling rancher behavior rather than the true compensation program for losses. Potentially, there will be two people out of the five on the suggested advisory committee who may be directly affected by wild wolf depredation on livestock, and the possibility exists for having none. We believe the compensation program should stand alone, and law should pay for economic losses to livestock owners caused by wolves, and should be managed through the Department of Agriculture Livestock Division once wolf-caused losses have been confirmed by experienced wildlife service agents. Arbitrary upper limits for payment should be removed, and payment should not be predicated on livestock management practices, but rather on actual losses caused by wolves. Probable wolf depredation, where there is a preponderance of evidence, should be paid at 100%. The legislature should not authorize Fish and Wildlife Commission to develop a compensation package, since they have suggested a framework in their adopted plan that falls well short of what is fair and lacks understanding of what the costs will be to those who will suffer from having wolves in this state. ODFW tells the public that the plan gives ranchers new tools to deal with wolf-livestock conflict. 3478 actually would do that with certainty if our suggested amendments are in place. But if they are not, then the suggested legislation gives them the authority to take tools away by requiring permits that might be impossible for ranchers to acquire. Present wildlife damage laws are perfectly clear and provide tools for ranches to protect livestock. The commission plan and or rules must acknowledge that and must be amended to fit. The past lawmakers over time have developed a thorough suite of laws to protect and enhance wildlife, to protect people and wildlife when there is a negative interaction, to enhance tolerance of wildlife and the enjoyment of wildlife in Oregon. Those laws have limited the powers of the Commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife in order to protect private property rights, even under the endangered species statutes. It is our opinion that they have not followed the letter of those statutes in developing the plan and rules. They have not conceded to the preemption of federal law, and now they ask you to validate their indiscretion. And to add insult to injury, they're asking us to pay for it. We believe that if a serious reevaluation is done of Oregon's laws that pertain to wolves, wildlife damage, Endangered Species Act, exotic animals, and private property rights, and a literal application of those laws, there will be no need for a plan, no need for changes in the law, and most especially, no need for the huge expense required to implement their plan. The legislature should prevent the Commission and the Department of Fish and Wildlife from spending any money on efforts to manage, recover, or conserve the federal government's Canadian gray wolf. We have no objections to authorizing the department to assist U.S. Fish and Wildlife in monitoring and or controlling wolf at federal expense, or to develop a management plan for the federal wolf under the existing wildlife laws rather than the endangered species laws. Now, I've attached, and I'm going to hand you this testimony, two documents aside from this, what I've just, my remarks. One is called the ODFW Wolf Plan Issues, and it's Oregon Cattlemen's Association's Wildlife Task Force Committee and OCA has developed a logical, thoughtful, and intellectual review of the wolf plan and rules, the wolf and the wildlife laws that apply to endangered species and those that apply to wolves specifically, and to ODFW's proposed statutory changes required to implement the plan as it has been written by the department and adopted by the commission. The second document is one that we developed that says what ranchers can do to protect their livestock from wolves by meshing the plan, the rules, and the proposed authorizing legislation. These are the options we have to protect our livestock from wolves. And I just added that it might be read for entertainment value and discarded as being totally impractical and inadequate. So I'll hand those things to you and be willing to answer any questions.
Thank you. Sharon? Sheriff Smith and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sharon Livingston. I'm president-elect of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I live near Long Creek, Oregon, in Grant County, 40 miles north of John Day and 90 miles south of Pendleton, 40 miles away from any ODFW office and or police and or ability to get fuel at this point. And it's a serious situation. I am a rancher, and I believe that I'm a producer of quality protein. In 2003, cattle sales in Oregon amounted to $429,811,000, a sizable amount, the second largest ag industry, I believe, in the state of Oregon, and that figure increased to close to $500 million in 2004. Our industry contributes a substantial amount to the economy and the financial stability of Oregon. It's been part of our cultural heritage in Oregon for over 100 years. Cattle and wolves are not compatible, and that's why I'm speaking to you today. There's approximately 30 to 40,000 wolves on the North American continent, so they're not in danger of being extinct.
I'm going to speak to two specific issues that would affect my operation, and they're under the compensation plan. And as I see it, the reason we can't shoot a wolf is because they're endangered. I don't believe that coyotes or cougars, you're not supposed to shoot a cougar, but I sincerely believe if a cougar were attacking an animal, you could shoot it, and you might not be liable to the $100,000 fine or the possible 10 years in jail. I operate on my private ground. However, some of that borders the national forest. On my private ground, I supply feed for a number of wildlife, to include elk. Elk do not go over fences, generally speaking. They go through them. And so the Forest Service does absolutely nothing to help me maintain my fences or keep my cattle in. So that's my responsibility. If the elk go through a fence, and they do that, and my cattle get out on the national forest, they are trespassing, and I can be fined for that. Now, in this compensation plan, Section 5 of House Bill 3478 states, a person may be eligible for compensation under certain circumstances. And I reemphasize, may be eligible under certain circumstances. And under 2A, the person has suffered a confirmed loss located on private lands or on public land under a legal grazing right. When my cattle are out on the national forest, they're not under a legal grazing right. So what do I do to apply for compensation? Now, I understand there are reasonable people in some instances, but again, there are some that aren't. Under 3, a person applying for compensation under this section shall provide evidence of the loss of injury. Like many other people, my cattle that graze on my private property are in the timber. There are gullies and there are washes, and you would not always find the evidence of the injury. In fact, a wolf can devour everything, and science proves that. So how would I be able to provide evidence of injury? And I read enough that I know you have to preserve and you have to do certain things to maintain that carcass, and there might not be a carcass left. Furthermore, I've heard it said, I've heard this statement, well, you folks should bring your livestock in close to the barn, and you should put them in the barn at night or in a lot. I think anyone in the cattle industry knows, and I'm not a major operator, that's impossible. It cannot be done. And so I bring to you this, that I ask you to accept the Oregon Cattlemen's Association amendments. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Excuse me.
Representative Hass. have a stiff neck.
I don't have a question, but I'm just wondering, you know, we have now obviously two different approaches to this, and just to keep sort of commentary going as to keep things straight, or I don't know if you want, if the department is going to respond to these amendments, or if down the road we're going to pick and choose, or if there will be other amendments, or if there will be a work group or a meeting of the minds or compromises or what. I was just curious as to your
comment. We don't know yet. I think we want to have the two public hearings Monday and Wednesday and see where we're at on these issues. We end up I want to hear what all the amendments are. I think there's other amendments coming. Yes.
I missed one amendment. I'd like to catch it now
if,
for the
if
record.
If you hurry, because I want to make sure everyone has
page 5, line 19. Right. We also struck the language that says under a legal grazing right.
Right.
Because we feel that we don't want the Department of Fish and Wildlife being cow cops to determine whether we have a legal permit or we don't have a legal permit to graze.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Quick question.
Very good.
Very good. I just want to give them the same opportunity I gave Fish and Wildlife.
That's true.
Could you just briefly comment on your knowledge of known compensation plans that are out there and how you envision it? Same question I had with Fish and Wildlife. We're in totally new territory here offering compensation.
Well, if I may, Madam Chair, Representative Boquist, I think the difference in compensation versus other animals, and I heard you talk before, is that this is something that the state of Oregon is choosing to protect and increase the population of. They're choosing to make it their animal. Now, I know that right now it's listed under federal law, but they also choose to list it under state law, and they choose to write a plan and rules to protect it at our expense. That's number one. But you know what? Number two is the cattlemen. I can't speak for the sheep producers. They got to speak for themselves. But the cattlemen have never asked for compensation. We're not here asking you to pay us for losses. We never have. What we are saying, we want the right to defend our livestock against wolf predation. That's what we want, is that right to defend our property.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very Thank you. Much. Thank you for coming here. I'm a Rock Weiss, Defenders of Wildlife. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Honorable members of the committee, my name is Amarok Weiss. For the record, that's A-M-A-R-O-Q, last name W-E-I-S-S. I'm the Director of Western Species Conservation for Defenders of Wildlife. On behalf of Defenders of Wildlife, and I'm based in Ashland, street address 258A, Suite A, 258A Street, Suite 16, Ashland, Oregon, 97520. On behalf of Defenders of Wildlife, thank you so much for the opportunity to provide comments regarding HB 3478. Defenders of Wildlife is a national nonprofit wildlife conservation organization based in Washington, D.C., with field staff in 10 states, Canada, and Mexico. Nationwide, our membership exceeds 480,000, and we have over 16,000 members and supporters in Oregon. We've had an office in northwestern Oregon for more than 20 years, and we have our field office in Ashland. Over the years, we have partnered with agricultural interests in this state for many years in efforts to provide conservation incentives and assistance to landowners. My comments today are spoken both as a representative of Defenders of Wildlife and as an appointed stakeholder representative on the Oregon Wolf Advisory Committee that spent a year assisting the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife developing the Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. No acronyms. The Wolf Plan, adopted in February by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, contemplated four areas that would need to be accomplished by legislation. Namely, these are, number one, creating a new subcategory under the game mammal statute called special status mammal and designating the wolf under this classification with the definition and the rules adhering to that classification described fully in the plan. Number two, amending the agricultural damage statute, ORS 498.012, to list the gray wolf as a species which could be lethally taken if caught in the act of attacking livestock. And again, that term is defined in the plan. Number three, establishing a joint state and privately funded compensation and proactive trust fund to pay ranchers for livestock killed or injured by wolves and to cost-share proactive projects with ranchers for non-lethal methods that would prevent or reduce wolf-livestock conflicts. And finally, number four, amending statutory language relating to incidental take permits to ensure that trappers legally trapping for other species would not be held liable for unintentionally trapping a wolf. Now, HB 3478 was intended to be the omnibus bill to accomplish these four legislative concepts required by the Wolf Plan. However, as currently written, HB 3478 does not reflect the carefully negotiated compromises obtained in the Wolf Plan that allowed for near consensus by diverse citizens on the advisory committee representing the Oregon public and which was adopted by the commission. HB 3478 makes some mandatory plan provisions discretionary. It uses confusing language that could result in a livestock producer misperceiving the circumstances under which they could legally kill a wolf. It provides for compensation beyond what was agreed to and without requiring an adequate investigation process to be fair to all, and is not sufficiently clear regarding the incidental take process. We are aware that several interested stakeholders are proposing amendments to the current language of the bill. We wish to advise this committee that we are engaged in discussions with other stakeholders who are open to discussion and negotiations, and we intend to return to the hearing on Wednesday with proposed amendments that would better reflect the hard work of the Wolf Advisory Committee, the intent of the state wolf plan, and which best served, we hope, most stakeholders.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to, we've got 1 hour because we have to be on the floor. I'm going to try to take anybody that lived more than 100 miles. And I don't see Phil Hassinger or Peggy Brown. They're not here. Okay. I think that was everybody. Yeah. Everyone else is within 100 miles, whether you're 99 or not. David Wiley, Marion County. Okay. And we've divided up the number, and we have about 4 minutes. So if that's, does that work for you? Hopefully.
I'm not a, excuse me, Madam Chair, I'm not accustomed to this, so I might get a little nervous in the exercise
No, don't worry about it. We're just regular people.
Okay. Chair Smith, members of the Agricultural and Natural Resources Committee, for the record, I'm David D. Wiley, and my address is at the top of the document I've given you. I live here in Salem. I'm representing myself, though several of you may identify me with Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation and the Oregon Hunters Association, but I'm here to speak for myself today. I'm a hunter, a wildlife conservationist, I'm also a livestock producer, like several of the people you've heard from today, so I have a definite affinity for some of their positions, or most of their positions, but I'm representing myself today. I support a science-based wildlife conservation and management plan for the wolf, and I recognize that the wolf may soon return to Oregon, but I don't like the idea of that happening. However, when the wolf does return, I know that it must be protected and managed in accordance with both state law and federal law. Therefore, I think it was both reasonable and prudent that the commission prepare and adopt a plan in advance of the wolf returning to the state. We have an old military saying that time spent in planning will save you four times or five times as much shooting from the hip. We all know that it is the sale of hunting licenses and harvest tags that pay the full cost of wildlife management in Oregon. We know that the majority of the Department of Fish and Wildlife's funding for wildlife management, both directly and indirectly, is derived from the sale of deer and elk harvest tags. You should also be aware that the Hunter Wildlife Conservation Organizations annually invest several millions of dollars and many thousands of volunteer hours in the enhancement of Oregon's wildlife populations and their habitat. So we think, and I think, that the sportsman's voice should be listened to. I support the legislative classification of the wolf as a game mammal because I believe it will give the department and the commission the tools that it needs to manage the wolf and do so in concert with other species, but particularly in concert with the species that the wolf preys upon, principally deer, elk, bighorn, sheep, and domestic livestock. I also support the legislation that adds language for incidental take permits for wolves to protect trappers engaged in otherwise lawful activities, and I support the establishment of the Wolf Depredation Compensation Fund to pay for damage of the wolf. And I truly support what the Oregon Cattlemen said about that. Having said what I've said, I think the legislation has a couple of major flaws which I'd like to bring to your attention.
You've got about a minute left, so if
fine.
You can bring us.
The first one is special status, and I don't believe that this the wolf deserves any special status, ma'am. The while it's under protection of the ESA, it doesn't need it because those are stringent requirements. But the special status has the effect of continuing endangered species-like constraints on management after the wolf is delisted, and I don't think that that can be borne. The second is that depredation compensation for sporting dogs is capped at $2,500 and further constrained to a narrow period of the year, hunting seasons, and pursuit seasons, and this is both unfair and inequitable to the sportsman who is paying for the wildlife management of the state. Thank you. I'll take any questions you might have.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You're fine. Katie Fast and Barry Bashu. And I like the name Fast. Just kidding.
For herself.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Barry Bashu. I'm the president of the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation Farm up near Boring. This issue is very obviously, as the chair said earlier when she started, that this issue has been very contentious, and it's always difficult when agricultural organizations don't necessarily always agree on the specifics of an issue, but on the generalities and the philosophies of this issue, I think agriculture is united. Our organizational discussions have gone on for over a year and a half on this issue, reaching every single stage of our organization, from committee to county presidents to the House of Delegates to the Board of Directors. Our position was reaffirmed just recently last week by our Board of Directors. They made a statement which basically says, organizationally, we are absolutely opposed to the establishment of wolves in the state of Oregon. Organizationally, we believe that livestock owners and ranchers ought to be able to take offending wolves when they're threatening either livestock or humans. And as an organization, we fully believe that livestock owners ought to be compensated for full value of losses for either damage or takes of livestock. Having said that, as a result of Judge Jones's decision, the importance of estate management, I believe, was elevated, as does my organization. Farm Bureau believes it is important to have state ability to manage these wolves. It is no longer a matter of when they arrive. Clearly, there have been confirmed sightings in much of eastern Oregon, and it is now just a matter of how we deal with them. We had members attending a meeting in Washington, D.C., in which they talked with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and Katie Fast recently spoke with Ed Bangs of U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and we asked them a series of questions, and the answers were enlightening to us. First of all, they stated that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will not remove wolves from Oregon that cross over from Idaho. They will not monitor, nor will they actively manage wolves in the state of Oregon. They will, however, coordinate with the state on monitoring and management, but that requires a control plan and a Section 10 authorization. They believe that some form, perhaps this one, of the Oregon's Wolf Conservation and Management Plan could serve as the control plan, and their staff are working on a letter of authorization to meet that Section 10 requirement. This would allow the state to collar, monitor, trap, harass, and take wolves. This process is currently underway in western Montana. U.S. Fish and Wildlife will take problem wolves that cause conflicts with livestock. They will either have to have a USDA Fish and Wildlife Services, or with this letter of authorization comes through, we believe that the State Department of Fish and Wildlife will be able to have that takeability. Landowners cannot get take permits due to the endangered listing of the wolf. They can harass, but frankly, it's a joke, the amount of harassment they can do. Citizens cannot shoot rubber bullets or harm a wolf. This action will be considered a take under the Endangered Species Act federally. And they have no plans to manually reintroduce wolves to Oregon. This would require amending the current federal laws and a NEPA assessment. We think it's important to work to develop some type of a plan. We have not officially endorsed the Department of Fish and Wildlife's current plan, and frankly are a little bit disappointed that the commission chose to ignore some of the agricultural representatives' positions on there. But that's something we think we still have to be at the table with Department of Fish and Wildlife and the commission to continue to work through answers to these very difficult questions. Compensation is a critical part of a plan. There is no other public form of compensation, either state or federal, currently available for wolves. I would like to address Representative Hass's question from earlier on. I'm disappointed he's not here. The difference between wolves and all of these other issues is, one, they are not federally endangered, nor are they state endangered. The other issue is that they can be taken legally when they are harassing livestock and humans. If the federal government and the state government would like to give us that ability to take, we'd be in there like a shot and you wouldn't have to spend a dime. And I think Glenn Stonebrick probably clarified that. Landowners are more than happy to take the problems on their own hands. They've been doing it for generations. But in lieu of that and the fact that we can't do that, it is critical that we have some type of a state-funded management plan. And I think the most appropriate place for that to be dealt with would be in the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. There also needs to be protection for incidental takes for trappers. And the only opportunity for legal take will be through cooperation between Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. Frankly, if this does nothing else, I think number one, it points out the absolute desperate need to relook at the state's Endangered Species Act and the federal Endangered Species Act. Clearly, they are out of line with what's going on in the world today. And I have to take exception at discussions about stakeholders earlier on. It's difficult to be a stakeholder when you have nothing to lose. And I think that's where the agricultural industry is here. Oregon Farm Bureau is fully supporting of this particular bill. We have some amendments that Katie Fast will talk about. And we encourage you to pass the bill with these amendments. And we will continue to work with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to a solution for livestock.
Thank you. Katie?
For the record, Katie Fast, Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. For Farm Bureau, we see House Bill 3478 as a starting point that creates the framework to allow flexibility for agency staff, give take provisions for farmers and trappers, and set up a sufficient compensation program. However, amendments are needed for solid legislation for the livestock industry. The first amendments that Farm Bureau would propose would deal in Section 4 of the bill, which are the take permits. The current legislation has that the ODF and W Commission may waive take permits for livestock owners whose livestock's being harassed by wolves. We would like to delete that and have it be an automatic no need for a permit when livestock's being harassed by wolves. When you have a predator in your herd, you don't have the time to wait to either get a permit from ODF&W, nor should the livestock industry have to go to the commission and ask them to waive that permit so they can be given the tools to protect their animals. We do understand that take is not allowed under federal law until the species is downlisted or delisted, so this would only apply under state law and would not have the full benefit for the livestock industry until the wolf's downlisted. The second amendment deals in the same section, and it's more of a clarification. That section talks about needing permission from the landowner in a written form to take a wolf. It does not state that the landowner can also take the wolf and protect their livestock. So just a simple clarification in that section. We also believe the damage statute should add language that clarifies that take can happen to protect human safety. That is allowed in the federal ESA to take an endangered species in defense of human life. However, the Oregon Endangered Species Act does not address this. The Wolf Conservation and Management Plan recognized that Oregon's criminal code provided it, and that's statute ORS 161.200. However, our membership would be more comfortable if this statute's application is clarified within the wildlife damage statutes. And I think it would make it much easier for the livestock industry to read the damage statutes and see that piece in there. The other sections that we are proposing amendments for deal with the compensation program. And I'd like to add that Farm Bureau is supportive of compensation for both the loss of livestock and also for implementing the management techniques and non-lethal harassment techniques. From our members' perspective is if they are going to have to change their management styles due to wolves, they would like some assistance from the state from this program to help with the cost on a species that they cannot truly protect themselves from. So the changes, the first two are more of technical word changes that I've talked to the department, and I won't go into those. The substantive change deals with subsequent losses. And the cattlemen, in their recommendations, they have to delete on page 6, line 10, dealing with the subsequent losses for injuries. We'd like to replace that language with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife shall encourage and assist livestock producers to implement livestock management techniques or non-lethal wolf techniques designed to discourage wolf depredation. And this would encourage, not force upon people to put in these techniques, and also direct the department to work with the livestock industry.
Katie, you're out of time.
Okay.
Are you going to be bringing these amendments to the committee?
We can. I think we're going to be in discussions with some other stakeholders before that happens, probably in the next day or so.
Okay. So will you be at the hearing on Wednesday?
Yes.
Okay. Then maybe we can continue at that
time.
Thank you. I think if we get an amendment form, it's going to be easier to understand.
Okay. Thank you.
So thank you very much. Al Elkins, Gerald Myra. And we used acronyms on these. Oregon Hunters, but I didn't know what group you were with.
Oregon 940.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Members of the committee, for the record, I'm Al Elkins for the Oregon Hunters Association. Madam Chair, I have three pages of testimony here, and the third page is four concepts for amendments. I did not know how the committee wanted to handle the amendments, so I brought the concepts forward and not the actual amendment. We are meeting with some stakeholders today to go over where our likenesses and dislikenesses may be. I would just like to get on the record that we have four areas. Mr. Wiley pretty much went over those already. First of all, we support the game mammal definition. We don't like the special status category. We have some problems with the cap on the $2,500 cap on the dogs. And we have a problem, number three, with the compensation may be paid for the sporting dogs only if they are in a hunt during a hunting season and pursuit season. We have problems with that language. And the last is we would like to have a language added to the bill that prohibits ODF&W from using hunter license and tag fees to manage the wolf or implement the Oregon Wolf Conservation and Management Plan. I did not know, Madam Chair, how you were going to handle amendments, if you wanted us to individually get them drafted or the committee would be drafting amendments, but I'd like to go through the work group process this afternoon and then determine which of these amendments we still need or do not need, and then go from there, if that would be all right with the committee. And then
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay.
I'm not sure as a committee we know how we're going to handle the amendments yet because there's so many of them. and we're just trying to get up to speed on what they all are, and if you're meeting with a group, maybe that will be determined in that group.
Okay.
And you'll know better.
This page three pretty much centers on where our issues are. Page one of the testimony, though brilliantly written, is more or less window dressing. Page two speaks to the specific amendments, and I don't need to go through those, but because I already have.
Right.
We will see you on Wednesday after work group processes today and tomorrow.
Great. Thank you very much. Mr. Myra?
Well, you think Dave was nervous.
Now, come on.
Members of the chair.
And we have you on a timer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, really makes
members sense. Of the committee. My name is Gerald Myra. I live in Oregon City, 21346 South Milligan Road. But I come here today, I wanted to share a video with you of the wolves in action. maybe to give you more information and better understand and help you make a more informed decision on this wolf bill. I've been in Yellowstone for the last 6 years watching the wolves, so if you could find the time to look at the video, it might help understand the wolf situation better. Now, I've been in Montana and Wyoming, and I've seen how the wolves affect the ranchers, the hunters, and the rural residents. So if you could just find the time to look at that video, it might help.
Okay.
And I won't read my long letter. It's all in the pamphlet. But
okay.
I would like to read my closing statement. It's kind of a smart alecky, but I think it's appropriate.
Okay.
In closing, I think the people from Portland should be outraged that the ranchers in Eastern Oregon will be able to hear the wolves howling in their backyards and not in Portland. So I think it would be a number one priority to move a pack of wolves into Forest Park, maybe the ones that have been killing livestock or pets. Then we can hear the people from Portland do the howling. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I don't think there's any questions. I think he's handing out the copy of the video that Mr. Myra brought. We'd like you to have the committee look at it. Yes. W.L. Hoyt and Gwen Mulkey. Is Gwen here? I'm calling you up at 2 at time to save my time. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Hoyt.
Madam Chairman, for the record, my name is Bill Hoyt. I'm a fifth-generation rancher from Divide, Oregon, which is just south of Cottage Grove. My great-great-grandfather homesteaded the ranch I live on in 1852 after coming over on the Oregon Trail. We've been ranching there ever since, and the family's passed the ground on from one generation to the next. And I'm proud to be here to testify. I'd like to spend my 2 minutes and just give you a little straight talk on what I see as the problems that we are facing with the wolf issue. I'd like to support the amendments offered by the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I'm on the board of directors of the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. I'm also on the board of directors of the Douglas County Livestock Association. I feel like that what we're doing here, and I have three issues I'd like to speak to. One is funding. Representative Haas asked, well, what's the difference between what we're doing with other predators, cougars and coyotes and wolves? We've been asked to bring this wolf to the state. The wolf plan put forward by ODFW would like to bring wolves to all parts of the state. So it's not just good enough to let the wolf come as it will naturally. They speak of it coming naturally over across the river into northeast Oregon, and then we'll deal with it. But the plan says that what we should do once it comes is gather these wolves together and then disperse them throughout Oregon, through the Cascades, through the Coast Range, and so on, until we have established a proper number of packs across the state. And my way of thinking, that's a tremendous burden on all the rest of us, because what we're dealing with in Northeast Oregon with the ranchers and stockmen in Northeast Oregon is a specific problem there, which is caused by the fact that these wolves, no one really wants to say that these 66 pairs that were introduced, as Director Ball said, in 1997, now number over 700. And nobody really wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about how quickly these wolves have developed themselves and how many there are now. But what's happening is once we bring them, and once they're here in Oregon, then the plan wants to disperse them throughout the state. And we feel that Glenn Stonebridge said, no one's asking from the Cattlemen's Association or any of the livestock producers for us to be compensated. We just like to be able to defend ourselves. And I have lost over $10,000 in this winter alone to livestock depredation by predators. Now, I have legally taken a cougar in the process, but I'm fully aware of what happens when we lose livestock, and I've had government trappers out. Everybody comes out to the ranch and says, well, let's take a look at this. And the ability for us to take and you guys to put on us and ODF&W to put on us all the layers of bureaucracy and all the numbers of government employees who are involved in helping us manage and helping us determine whether or not we've had a kill or not, all it does is muddy the waters. And the fact remains that the livestock have been killed, and we're left with disposing of the carcass. And I think that there is the funding in the state of Oregon is limited. Defenders of Wildlife say they'll put up money, but money never shows up, and there's so many conditions on the money that it never actually reaches the people it needs to reach. So my feeling is that if you allow us a little latitude to defend our livestock, we'll probably be able to work this out. There are certainly reasonable ways to get this done. But if we're put in a position where we're in a corner and all we have is the people out there saying that this is I'm the guy that's in charge of this thing or that thing in order to layer on the bureaucracy, we'll just be mired down and there'll be a lot of frustration. And I really appreciate the opportunity today to visit with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hoyt. Ms. Mulkey.
Chair Smith and members of the committee, my name is Gwen Mulkey. I'm president of Oregon Women for Agriculture. I did send each of you the resolution that Women for Agriculture, the position we took at our state convention in March. But today I'm just representing myself as a farmer. We did have cattle at one time. We farmed south of Monmouth, halfway between Monmouth and Corvallis. But I'm just taking a little bit different approach today because what I see is an overall plan to do away with farmers and ranchers and to just make this a whole wildlife home. And what I am reading from is an excerpt from a book called Undue Influence by Ron Arnold. And Ron used to be at one time was a Sierra Club official, and now he's an executive vice president of the Center for Defense of Free Enterprise in Bellevue, Washington. But a lot of the stuff is funded by coalitions aimed at fundamental production points such as control of raw materials. It would obviously be most effective in the long run. No economy can operate without raw materials. To date, the most comprehensive coalition to appear on the scene is the Wildlands Project. This book was written 4 years ago. The coalition's most radical purpose is to rewild America, that is to gradually remove people and raw material production from the rural United States with no definite stopping point. And in their own words, the Wildlife Project calls for reserves established to protect wild habitat, biodiversity, ecological integrity, ecological services, and evolutionary processes. In other words, vast interconnected areas of true wilderness and wild lands. We reject the notion that wilderness is merely remote, scenic terrain suitable for backpacking. Rather, we see wilderness as a home for unfettered life, free from human, technological, and industrial intervention. Extensive, roadless areas of native vegetation in various successional stages must be off-limits to human exploitation. To function properly, nature needs vast landscapes without roads, dams, motorized vehicles, power lines, overflights, or other artifacts of civilization where evolutionary and ecological processes can continue. Such wildlands are absolutely essential to protect biodiversity. Rural cleansing project is one that must be off limits to human exploitation. The Wildlands Project has proposed to set aside at least half of North America for the preservation of biological diversity. The resulting wildland reserves would contain cores created from public lands such as national forests and parks, allowing for little, if any, human use. Buffers created from private land adjoining the cores to provide additional protection. Corridors, a mix of public and private lands, usually following along rivers and wildlife migration routes, but would allow no cities, roads, homes, businesses, no aircraft overflights or natural resource extraction, and endlessly expanding area of America would be depopulated and devalued. And this is funded by wealthy foundations, grant-driven green groups, and our government. I feel this is where the wolf reintroduction is coming from, and I ask that it not be funded. I stand totally with the what the cattlemen are going through, and I feel that Oregon cannot waste any more money on this when others are. Oh, what did I put down here? Other programs threatened or endangered. So I just thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you. Yeah. For your testimony. Thank you. Both of you. Brent Brownstrom? Did I say that right?
Brett.
Brett. And Ivan Maluski? I hope I say that right. Maluski. I was close. See, with the name Smith. Thank you. Go ahead, Brett.
Thank you, Chair Smith. Members of the committee, my name is Brett Brownscombe. I live in La Grande, Oregon. I have copies of my testimony here, which I'll give to Patrick, I suppose.
Or you can give it to Jeanine. Okay. She can, or she'll take it. Thank you.
Thanks. What I wanted to say in the 4 minutes that I have is I served on the Wolf Advisory Committee that helped to shape the Wolf Plan, and it worked over a year in doing that. And not aside from that, what I do is I'm an attorney and I work for the Hell's Canyon Preservation Council in La Grande. We're not, contrary to what I don't know if it was intended, but what I think I read in the Oregon Cattlemen's Association amendments, proposed amendments, we are not, I am not a proponent of the bill as it stands right now. Just wanted to be clear on that. The bill differs significantly from the language that was adopted by the Fish and Wildlife Commission and that the committee members, the advisory committee, citizen members, agreed to in the plan. 13 of the 14 committee members agreed that they could live with the plan, although each of us recognized that the plan, we don't support certain elements of it, perhaps, but overall, we can live with it. And the few points that I wanted to make relate, one, to the special status mammal issue. This was a key point of negotiation for the members of the advisory committee, and we struggled long and hard with it and came out with this proposed definition, subcategory of the game mammal definition in the code. It's something that puts me in a difficult position because I hear it daily from colleagues in the conservation community who don't like it, who think it goes too far because it allows for hunting and allows for trapping. I hear it from other people who I hear from out in La Grande who think it goes too far the other way. And I don't know where you're going to come out on it, but I can tell you that it's a critical piece of the plan, that every part, every element of that plan has been carefully negotiated, and we are supporting the language in the plan because of its overall package quality, that every piece should stand or fall together, and this special status mammal was a significant part of it. I can tell you that the hunting representative on the committee agreed to that negotiated compromise on special status mammal, that members of the representatives of the Oregon Hunters Association were in the room when the final negotiation was made and said they could live with it. Now apparently that's changed. On the compensation front, I think that we're in, as an organization and myself, it may not be a very seemly thing for us to support, but I think compensation for losses and compensation for the costs of dealing with non-lethal risk conflict risk reduction techniques is really important. One, because it's fair to interests that are going to be affected by the wolf, and two, I think it will increase the overall social tolerance for this animal. We agree that the point that Representative Haas made, it could be a slippery slope if you're having compensation for the wolf but not for any other predator. What's the logic behind that? I would offer that the wolf is a different animal, so to speak, and it inspires different feelings, more passionate feelings, and responses from people. Social tolerance is the one thing that led to the wolf's extermination. It's the one thing that will keep the wolf from coming back. I think we have to deal with it responsibly, and I think the compensation piece is the way to do it. We're supporting the language in the plan. The Cattlemen's Association representative on the committee had a significant hand in shaping that language. We don't think it should be changed as the amendments propose. We think that a compensation program should come with accountability over how public funds are spent. And with that, I will leave you with my testimony. We agree with the Farm Bureau that the plan is needed, and even more so in light of the federal court decision. Unlike some of my colleagues, I think, who may feel that Oregon is better off with just a federally endangered status, I think Oregon's better off with this plan. I think it gives more flexibility, yeah. It potentially allows for things, it definitely allows for things to happen in the Wolf that the federal endangered status wouldn't. I think in the end, that's going to be the best thing for social tolerance. It's going to be fair, and it's going to be reasonable. I would hope that this committee, I've attached to my testimony the current discrepancies between the language in the Wolf Plan and the language in the bill. And I would hope that this committee would recognize the careful consensus that went into creating that language in the Wolf Plan and move it into the bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is it Ivan?
Yes. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ivan Molesky, and I'm with the Oregon Chapter Sierra Club. Please consider this testimony today from the Sierra Club and our 23,000 members in Oregon, one-third of which live in eastern and southern Oregon, areas with the most viable wolf habitat in the state. We're asking you to oppose HB 3478 as it's currently written. The bill does not reflect the key points established by the Wolf Management Plan, agreed to by the Fish and Wildlife Commission, and undermines the plan's compromises reached through a long, thoughtful, and very public process by the Wolf Advisory Committee. The Sierra Club had serious concerns about the plan as agreed upon by the Fish and Wildlife Commission, as alluded to by Brett. And we believe that many of the compromises reached by the Advisory Committee left the wolf with less protection than under the Federal Endangered Species Act. Our comments on the plan reflected our concerns regarding its shortcomings, mainly inadequate restrictions on lethal control, and the designation of the wolf as a special status game mammal allowing hunting and trapping. However, in the interest of seeing a plan in place for the wolf, and because of the hard work that went into reaching this consensus and compromise, we agreed to support the plan as long as our concerns and reservations were on record. HB 3478 abrogates the plan's careful compromises and further weakens protections for wolves and should not be supported. It deviates from the Oregon Wolf Plan in the following very important ways. HB 3478 abandons the special status designation in the wolf plan and makes the wolf simply another game mammal. This bill further lowers the threshold at which lethal control can be utilized, expanding when a wolf can be killed, including the liberal use of incidental take permits with lower standards than those required by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. This bill removes accountability standards regarding financial compensation for livestock losses and non-lethal control requirements. Unfortunately, HB 3478 disregards the hard-won compromises made by the Wolf Advisory Committee and weakens protection provided by the plan significantly, to the point where the Sierra Club must oppose it as written. In the spirit of cooperation and compromise, we've already agreed to support a plan that falls short of the protections we believe the wolf requires and deserves after its long absence from Oregon. However, we cannot support a bill that further denigrates those protections. HB 3478 undermines the Wolf Plan and the investment in it made by the Fish and Wildlife Commission, the State of Oregon, and the Wolf Advisory Committee, whose members voluntarily spent a year creating a plan reflecting a careful balance of diverse interests. Supporting HB 3478 would further undermine the broad and unprecedented support for the Oregon Wolf Plan by diverse constituencies within the Oregon public who are well represented on the Wolf Advisory Committee. Please vote no on HB 3478 until it reflects the essential protections offered by Oregon's Wolf Management Plan. Thanks for your consideration today.
Thank you. Any questions for either one of these gentlemen? Thank you very much. James Foley and Jim Welsh. Just work though. Good morning.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is James Foley. I'm from Lapine, Oregon. I'm the president of the National Land Rights League. We heard the gentleman from the Farm Bureau tell us all of the things that the U.S. Forest Service would not do in relation to the wolves. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that that is extortion against a sovereign state. This is their wolf. It doesn't belong to Oregon. And yet they're going to mandate that we write a plan for it and we support it. We've heard a lot from the cattlemen, and I support their stand. I submit to you that there is one class of people that is not considered in this whole wolf plan, and that's the hunters of the state of Oregon. And they're very numerous. These wolves are going to decimate the game herds of Oregon, and shame on us if we can't look at history where wolves have been introduced in other states and see how the game herds have been decimated and the cost to the state. This state can't afford to fully fund education, and be frivolous and fund wolves in this state. The mission of the Oregon Fish and Wildlife is to protect and enhance Oregon's fish and wildlife and their habitats for use and enjoyment by present and future generations. Given the ODEFW mandate to protect and enhance wildlife by the people, it cannot justify trying to manage the gray wolf as a game animal in the light of the many reports of game herds in other states being decimated by this same animal. History tells us that wolves and men cannot peacefully exist. And if you don't believe that, look around you. There are no wolves here. There's a reason for that. The department is charged by statute ORS 496-012 to manage the state's wildlife species, to prevent serious depletion of any indigenous species, and to provide the optimum recreational and aesthetic benefits for present and future generations of Oregon. I just took a figure from Yellowstone. Yellowstone has 9,500 dead elk directly attributed to wolves. They went down the throats of wolves. This is what Oregon has to look forward to in the future when these wolves proliferate. And, you know, just by way of a little bit of history, I am very familiar with wolves. I spent 32 years in Alaska. I lived in close proximity to them. I know what wolves can do. I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, Western Oregon is not wolf country. If you drive out through Western Oregon and you look at that country there, as I have, and you picture wolves in that country, those wolves are going to run those cattle to death. One lady spoke about them going through the fences. The cows are going to go through the fences. The question could be asked, who does ODFW serve? Or better yet, who do the legislators of the state of Oregon serve? Oregonians who utilize the resource, or wolves and their proponents? And that's a valid question. Who do we serve? This is not our wolf again. This belongs to the federal government. Studies have shown that ungulate populations cannot withstand hunting by man and uncontrolled predation by wolves for any length of time. One has to give to the other. In this day and age, the wolf will be the winner and the hunter will be the loser. Our hunters are already down to what I consider very limited seasons. In Alaska, we have very broad seasons. Here, they're very limited seasons. The wolf knows no season. He hunts 365 days a year, rain or shine, it doesn't matter. He needs 10 pounds of food a day to live, or the equivalent. He doesn't have to eat it every day. That is a lot of game meat to eat, and our game herds are going to be decimated. And ladies and gentlemen, once the game herds are decimated and the game becomes hard to get, they're going to turn to sheep and cattle. When you drive out through eastern Oregon, that's what you see, sheep and cattle. And wolves are known, all the studies will tell you, that they take the easiest, safest game they can. They're not stupid. They look out for themselves. They're going to take cattle and sheep.
Thank you.
Any questions?
I'll let Mr. Walsh speak and then see if there's any questions.
Chair Smith and committee, I am Jim Welsh representing Oregon State and Grange. We have had the opportunity to give testimony as a last session and before the commission, and our testimony really hasn't changed. The Oregon State Grange policy specifically and simply states that we oppose any reintroduction of wolves to the state of Oregon. And a lot of the comments that we've heard opposing wolves in Oregon, we certainly support. And I want you to know that we would support Oregon Cattlemen Association's amendments, absolutely. We should adopt those, and if we do not, then we don't oppose, then we oppose any legislation. We don't think there should be any if we don't have their amendments added to this legislation. We have been, we have questioned the need for any plan in this state because we have not had wolves for over 50 years, and that, as others have mentioned, there's been a reason for that. We don't think that it's going to work as well as a plan. You know, the commission adopted plan and department legislation here adopting a plan. We don't think it's going to work. It's going to be too costly. I heard some statements here that very possibly that we needed to socially accept the wolf. Well, I think that could happen. And when you look at the populations of Portland, Salem, and Eugene, and I think the majority of those could socially accept the animal. But economically, Chair Smith and committee, it won't work in this state. We have a very good livestock producing industry in this state, and we need to continue to support them and their families. I see this plan as costing more and more money. We can't even get the kind of predation predator enforcement that we need for our livestock owners today. And I had experience, of course, in this body and then going out in the field and going hunting with the county enforcement officers and looking for cougar. And, you know, it's costly. It's going to cost more and more. Just imagine today, you know, having 10 or more dens of wolves, and those populations growing and growing, and the pressure on the legislature and the pressure on the commission and the department to not allow any taking of those wolves. Be more and more of that pressure coming out of the populations of Portland, Salem, and Eugene. And it'll be more and more unmanageable for livestock producers in this state. I see that happening. That's the reason we're going to stick with our policy here. No wolves in Oregon. That's the only thing that's going to work. It's worked for over 50 years. We need to really think about that. Because I don't think this department is going to have the money to be the enforcement, to be the wildlife cops that they need to be for our producers. Outside of that, if there has to be a plan, then that plan has to allow our producers to immediately take on their property or federal lands, wherever they're leasing land, a predator. That's what we've asked for with cougar. We've asked for all predators in that manner. They need to be able to protect their livelihoods. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. I don't have anybody else signed up. Is there anyone else who wished to testify on House Bill 3478? I think I'm going to call Lindsay Ball back. And maybe Craig, and we can open up for a few questions if you have. I just wondered if you had any comments on anything you heard today. I'll let you.
Chair Smith, members of the committee, my name is Lindsay Ball. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Do you have anything specific you'd like me to respond to?
I'm a little concerned about the money coming for the compensation program from the general fund. I've got to tell you that. Would you like to respond to why it's coming from that?
The reason that the general fund was excuse me, yeah. The reason that the general fund was targeted for the compensation fund was the advisory, the Wolf Advisory Committee that was appointed by the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission felt that if people in Oregon wanted wolves, then the people of Oregon should pay livestock owners for wolves being in the state. And they felt that the general fund was money that came from the broad-based citizenry of the state, not a select group. That was their logic behind that.
Thank you. Representative Bailey, do you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like your comments on what we heard from several speakers earlier about how this bill is not consistent with the plan.
Chair Smith, Representative Burley, I'll defer to Craig Ely, and maybe he can explain where there may be some discrepancies, if any.
For the record, my name is Craig Ely with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Special Project signed in the Director's Office. Chair Smith, Representative Burley, the bill language does not reflect exactly what we had originally proposed in the plan itself in terms of the exact words. When we worked with Legislative Council, Legislative Council chose a different method to get us to the point where the would be able to implement the document. Once we received the legislative concept, we went back and reviewed that with our legislative counsel. And on his advice, he says, he advised us that it doesn't track exactly the words, but it does allow us to get where we need to be. Some of it, as was pointed out in some of the testimony, is by rule and not by statute in terms of getting to the same point. So those are the subtle differences. One more comment. We throughout our plan talked about the term proactive use of non-lethal methods. When we discussed that with Ledge Council, they just would not use that term. They wanted to use this non-lethal means and techniques as the kind of the way to translate that in law. And they're operating under, as you're aware of, a different set of rules trying to meet judges' concerns and the way laws are written.
Thank you.
Further questions? Do you have any questions? Representative Boquist?
Just very quickly, and I don't even need to, I guess more of a commentary. I mean, we've heard from at least four or five, maybe six or seven, the actual stakeholders who were involved in the advisory. Not one agrees. So where are we going now? You got a suggestion here, Lindsay? I mean, and these are all members of Wolf Advisory Committee, or their organizations are. So,
Chair Smith, Representative Boquist, where do we go from here? I think we have a very serious issue before us with wolves coming into Oregon. I said it 4 years ago. I say it today. We're going to have a problem with wolves if we are not prepared for wolves, and how we become prepared for wolves is to have a plan. And that has to bring in the best public policy that we can devise to fit the need of Oregonians. Does everyone agree with this plan? No. I'd be foolish to say that they did. And I can say, though, that as we deliberate this issue, we can come up with a public policy that fits the best that we can make it. And I think that's what we owe the people of Oregon. And I'll continue to search with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to see if I cannot find a way to allow landowners to protect their property. I have not been successful at that point yet, but I know, too, they continue to go back to their legal counsel and ask questions. They may be able to come up with something. To date, they haven't been able to. And so as it now stands, only the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service can take action against a problem wolf with the upgrading of a listing from threatened to endangered. If we get the necessary permits, then the Department of Fish and Wildlife would be allowed to take wolves. We'll continue to work at that effort that I identified 4 years ago, that we need the ability to allow landowners to protect their livestock from wolves. We haven't lost sight of that goal, but we'll continue to work on that. I do feel, and I feel pretty strongly about this, if we have a plan that conserves wolves in Oregon, I think it gets us closer to be able to prove to the federal government that we are in the act of conserving wolves, not the other way around. And with that, we may expedite a downlist decision upon the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. That's the only tool I have to offer them at this time.
Thank you. Representative Breyer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess you sort of answered one of my questions, and that is that if we start doing some of these things, waiving permit requirements and some of the suggestions, you know, what impact that would have on the feds when it comes to the downlisting, if that would maybe even slow the downlisting, which would be very, downlisting would be very beneficial in the state. So that was one of my questions to you.
Chair Smith, Representative Beyer, I want to mention it earlier, but in Judge Jones' ruling, he specifically singled out Oregon and identified that three known wolves in Oregon, instead of exhibiting a conservation mind about the wolves, one was asked by this department to be removed. We asked the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to take this wolf out of Oregon. One was hit by a car and killed on the highway, and one was shot. And that was mentioned in his decision as an inference that our wolves truly being conserved in this state. If we have one that was asked to be taken out and two others that ended up being killed. And so I think the judge from that alone looked upon his decision as one of necessity of an upgrade of a listing status to comply with the law versus maintaining current status of the law, which was at that time a threatened status. When he upgraded to an endangered status, it changed the whole complexion of how we can deal with the offending wolf because of the protective nature of the Federal Endangered Species Act and the preemption it has over state law. In addition to that, without a plan under state law, I cannot allow the lethal take of wolves by landowners unless I can show to the merit of the law in the state that we are conserving wolves, thereby being able to control their numbers or control their behaviors, that is towards a conservation end. The plan does that for me.
Okay. And it's another question, and sure. It's not to you. I was kind of making notes as I heard testimony from people, and I'm just going to mention the things that I was kind of puzzled about or questioning that were said. So if I mention these, if when you come back next Wednesday to testify, if you can address them, that would be great. And one would be why if we were to allow take, why would we also allow compensation? I mean, you know, do we have both of those? So that was a question. And ranchers, have they been changing their methods of ranching to try to protect their livestock now? As I know they're talking about not wanting to have to, but I'm assuming that they have done this. But if someone can address that. And then the issue of double compensation, which popped out at me, was that if you're compensated by insurance, should you also be compensated in another way? So these are things that kind of popped up in the testimony that if people can address them when they come back, I'd appreciate it.
That'd be great. Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you. Look forward to hearing all the amendments and where we're going on the future of this bill. So I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3478. We are adjourned. I'll see you Wednesday at 9.